Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork with built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze all your online marketing campaigns. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/income. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, your backstage pass to revealing conversations with stars, creators, and industry leaders on Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. I'm Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the actors Eden Espinosa and Amber Amman, the two women headlining the new Broadway musical Lempicka. Espinosa is a fan favorite performer who previously starred in the new musical Brooklyn and played Elphaba in Wicked and Maureen in the final cast of Rent. And she's returning to Broadway for the first time in more than 15 years to play the lead role of Tamara de Lempicka, the revolutionary Polish painter with the distinctive and femme forward Art Deco style. Iman plays Lempicka's lover and muse, Rafaela, after appearing in shows including Shuffle Along, the world premiere of the new musical Goddess, and her own solo show at the Minetta Lane Theater. Fresh off the recent opening of Lempicka, Espinosa and Amman are in the virtual studio with me to talk criticism discourse, the irresistible allure of Lempicka, and the Broadway community that's rallied around their show. Hello, Eden and Amber. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
I'm talking to you both not too long after Lempicka opened on Broadway. Was that a fun night? Did you have a good time?
It was crazy. You know, the last time I had an opening for a show on Broadway was 20 years ago. And I think 20 years later, I'm like, oh, this, it was, we had nothing but love in the audience. It was, we were surrounded by love and support and enthusiasm, which felt amazing. But like, the opening and the party is not really for us. You don't really get to enjoy it. You don't really get to relax and kiki with your friends. It's kind of all a work thing. So it was glorious. And I know I can speak for the entire cast that we're just so proud that we got to open on Broadway. So we're happy that it happened.
Yeah.
But I'm happy now that it's over and the show gets to be a living, breathing thing every day.
Yeah. It's opening night. That the amount of anxiety and adrenaline coursing through your body, it's fun is not a word I would use. I wanted to get off the roller coaster. That's how I feel. I mean, it's a joyous occasion and your family's there. And, you know, it's always like we work to get to the opening. But that actual day is a lot of energy coming at us. And I'm so glad that we're past that. But it was a beautiful day. And we looked stunning.
We shut it down.
Yeah. And you've both been involved with the show for several years. Eden, you in particular, have been with it for a long time. How did it feel to actually, you know, hit that landmark?
It was beautiful for so many reasons. For those of us who have been involved for the, and there's several of us who are several years. for the people who had invested several years and didn't get to this point, for all of the creatives, for our producers who believed in us, for, you know, it's just a culmination of so many things and so many people that it is an accomplishment that was, that held a lot of pride for me, of course.
Yeah. I remember one year I was walking down like Theater Row and there were four shows on Broadway. I had workshopped all of them and I wasn't in any of them.
Wow.
And it is so often that you just don't get to take the thing all the way home. Mm. So 6 years for me on Limpika, it just felt like, heck yeah, a race well run to be able to take it all the way to the finish line.
Yeah, yeah. And then now you're open. Well, do you read reviews? Are you reviews people? Do you follow any of that?
Not really.
Yeah.
I pull quotes, girl. I ask my agents to pull all the great quotes about me so I can be like, oh my God, I'm amazing.
Yeah. The reviews for Limpika inspired a sort of like discourse in the community about like what criticism is and what it should be for and how it's useful. Have you followed any of that or do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh yeah. I mean, our marketing team is brilliant and they've been nailing it from day one. Mm. And I think the semantics at which people are arguing over is hilarious because that is the point. The point is art is supposed to spark debate and controversy and sometimes be polarizing and it's doing its job. You know, one reviewer for one iteration said one thing, another reviewer for another iteration said another. And the truth is like, Both opinions could be valid, but it's like everyone has an opinion and you should form your own. And so I think that it's people are talking about it and which so it's working.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. It's getting the job done. It's doing what it's supposed to do. People are talking.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. People talking.
Yeah.
It's been a while since a show has taken the risks and the as big of swings as our show is. It's so epic. There's so much information. It's brand new. And because of that, it's going to stir different things in different people. And that is the kind of art that I always want to be a part of. So I'm just happy that people are feeling strongly either way about it, honestly.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about how you each got involved in the show. Eden, you were the earliest on board, which was a while ago now. Tell me a little bit about sort of how that got to you and how you heard about the project and then what you connected with so strongly that you felt like you really had to, you know, go on the full ride.
I saw a concert presentation of a show called Witness Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
That Matt wrote the music for.
Yeah, this is Matt, your composer, Matt Gould. Yeah.
Yes. And I had to sit in that auditorium for 20 minutes after because I was bawling. And I sent him a message on Facebook and had seen that years prior he had sent me a message wanting to sit down and talk to me and introduce himself to me. And I didn't answer that message, but I said that I was just broken open by this piece. And I would love to hear anything else that you've been a part of or are creating. And he sent me Limpika. And years later, I did a very casual reading of it at Yale as Rafaela.
Right.
And there were other people attached to the roles and so there were a couple years in there that I didn't do it. And then I stepped in at the last minute for somebody who got sick for the NAMPT presentation. And that is when they got their first like commercial producers involved. And the business being what it is, they wanted to see if they could find a bigger name for the role of Tamara, which they did. And then that bigger name got other opportunities. And so then they were holding auditions for Williamstown, which, you know, they informed me like I would have to re-audition and I did three times. And I just knew that this role, it was rare that this type of like scope doesn't come along very often for women of a certain age in particular. And I just knew there was something in me that I was like, I have to be a part of this. So I knew I wanted to put my hat in the ring and at least fight for it as much as I could. And then that's the rest is history since then. Right. I've been with it since then. And so 9 years of my life.
Right.
From the first reading I did. So that's my little history with the show.
Yeah. And so Amber, tell us when you got on board.
So the first show that I met Matt Gould on was Witness Uganda, mm-hmm. which I auditioned for in 2013. Mm. And then Matt and I formed a relationship that he says that every professional show that he did in New York City, I was a part of. I sang music, did a workshop, did a reading. Mm. And then my first audition for Limpika was the day after I closed my 385th performance of Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
I came off the road. I was supposed to go to Jamaica for vacation. I bypassed Jamaica to come to New York. I auditioned with no sleep and no voice for the role of Tamara. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think that was March. And then I just happened to be at Williamstown in summer of 2018 doing a workshop for something else. And Matt was like, I really need you to come see my show. I really need you to come see my show. And I was like, okay. And I came and I saw it. That was July of 2018. And then December of 2018, I did my first workshop as wow. Rafaela.
Yeah. Yeah. And what makes you each the right fit for each of your roles? Because Eden, you did sort of a role swap there. And actually, and you did a little of Tamara as well, Amber. Like what makes you the right fit for where you ended up in these
my beauty
in the show?
Cool. Sorry. Go ahead, Eden.
You go first. She knows what she offers. Beauty, brains,
period. It's
talent.
A full package.
Come on.
I don't know. I'm a big believer in what is for you will not pass you. Like, mm-hmm. I was supposed to be Rafaela, so here I am. Yeah. I don't know what they saw in me. I never know what people see when they see me, you know. I know Carson talks about the fact that all the girls who came in to audition for Rafaela wore like cocktail dresses and heels, and I came in combat boots and torn up fishnets. Mm-hmm. So I think I understood her in a way that a lot of girls probably didn't. She just made sense to me. I just got it. Mm. And at the time I auditioned, it wasn't a script. It was just whatever the sides were. Uh-huh. So I had minimal information. Just I think the song I auditioned with was probably Most Beautiful Bracelet and then one of those scenes. And I don't know, something about it was never difficult. And that just makes me think that's because I was supposed to be Rafaela.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And what about for you, Eden? How do you connect with the character you've been playing for so long now?
I've connected with it, and every iteration has been different. Mm. As I've grown and matured and expanded as a human, every time I've come back to it, it's been a different thing. I think I understood the scope of what I envisioned whenever I saw an iteration. Whenever I saw it, I was like, oh, this is what I see. This is what I feel it needs to be. And I just, in similar fashion to Amber, I think I just knew what my version of this was. So that was clear to me always. Mm. You know, you watch something as an actor and you go, oh, that's an interesting choice. My instinct would have been this. Neither of them is right or wrong. That's what makes each actor, you know, if you bring yourself to a project, that's what makes it, that individual performance stand out. So I just feel like I knew what my tomorrow what always was. Mm. And that, that might've been an interesting thing for the creative team. I'm not afraid to be messy and flawed, which sometimes it's hard to do, even for myself. But that's not something I'm afraid of. So who knows? But I also stand by that for my life. Like, what's meant for me will not pass me by, and everything else was not supposed to be in my path.
Yeah. Can you each tell me a little about how the show has changed over the years? Because you've both, Eden, you were in it in 2018 and you saw that production, Amber. Like, what was the show like then, and how has it shaped and molded and changed since then?
I would say that it's gotten more streamlined. I feel like the supporting characters have also gotten more developed. They are more of their own arcs within this huge arc of Limpika in its entirety. Mm. I feel like Tamara's relationship between her two, you know, lover, husband and lover muse has gotten more defined and more nuanced. And you know, what's great about being a part of something for so long is you start to know this character probably better than anybody else. And if you're lucky enough to have a creative team that listens to you and trusts you, you have some input and some influence on things, or they listen to you. And Amber is a huge testament to that and how Rafaela has grown over the years, for sure.
That makes sense. My focus is always Rafaela. Mm. Like, I can't remember. I mean, the show has leaps and bounds since I started, but as Rafaela was always my focus, I was always trying to make sure she was a fully full-fledged, all-dimensional woman. Mm. And I asked a lot of questions. I remember one reading. It was like day one. First thing we did was read through the whole thing. And I look around, like, everyone's crying and in tears. And Rachel was like, everybody go around the room and share, you know. And everybody's like, oh, my God, my life has changed. And this is the best thing. And they got to me. And I was like, so sorry, but Rafaela still doesn't make sense. But like, that's why I'm here. I wasn't brought into the room to just, you know, be like, oh, my God, I really want this to make sense. And it took a lot of dramaturgy work on my part and Carson's and Matt and us coming together and having a conversation. I'll never forget. I kept asking Carson, like, why does Rafaela stay? And she was like, it's in the text. And I was like, no, guys, I've read and read and read and I don't understand. Like, there's something specifically that I'm looking for that I need. And Carson was like, I think it's here, but okay. She took a weekend, read the script with a glass of wine, came back and she was like, Amber, I'm so sorry. What I thought was in the script got X'd 4 drafts ago. And that's my job. I'm the keeper of Rafaela. I have to make her make sense. And it's my job to track her. And I've been tracking it for 6 years. And to make sure that every night I can go out on stage and tell a story that makes sense. It's my job to keep up with her over the years. And so it just... she's just grown and blossomed in a way that allows me to stand on business. It allows me to stand 10 toes down and really just not have to pretend or make stuff up. Cause that's what happens a lot of times in shows. It's like, I can act like I know what's going on, or we can make sure that it's there. So also every woman who plays this after me has the tools that she needs to do her job. So I think for all of us, it's gotten tighter, streamlined. We cut the fat. And we kind of just got down to the heart of who these people are and what they want.
I'll have more with Eden and Amber right after the break. Welcome back to the rest of my conversation with the actors Eden Espinosa and Amber Amon.
And of course, Limpica is a story about real people, and it's set in, you know, very real, very visceral periods in history. How did research into either the real person you were playing or Rafaela is sort of a composite? Is that right, Amber?
Not much. We know two things about her. We know she was a sex worker and Tamara painted her 7 times. Other than that, everything else is kind of made up.
Right. Yeah. And so tell me, for each of you, how did research into the history of the time and the people feed what you were doing on stage?
For me, over the years, the more research I did, the less helpful it was for me, because Tamara, by design, was very calculated with versions of her truth and her story and her origin and when she was born and all of this. There was always versions of the truth. So they just recently found out that she was older than she was when she died. You know, everything was by design for survival. And so so I stopped really doing real research because it wasn't helping me in the context of our world. But the thing that I held so close was, what is it like in somebody's mind, heart, psyche, emotional place to consistently be on alert and telling versions of truths in order to? What must that have felt like to keep her and her loved ones safe, to keep them fed, to keep, you know, to always putting on different versions of themselves? And so that essence of, you know, survival, hunger, ambition, I wanted to capture, but also the humanity of just always clawing at things in order to get anywhere. Mm. You know, all of those characteristics aren't necessarily likable in a female character, and so my job at the end of the day, and unlike, you know, Amber was talking about, there are a lot of things that I bring to this role that aren't on there, aren't written necessarily. I'm kind of the in between everybody else. So it's hard to really grab onto Tamara at times. And so my job is to make her as human as possible.
Mm, yeah.
Same. I agree with Eden. Research wasn't really helping, especially because Limpika as a show, we bend the rules of time and space and all of those things. You know, like my coat, one of my main costume pieces is modeled after Jimi Hendrix and Prince.
Right.
So this is gonna sound a little crazy, but honestly, being a sex worker feels a lot like being an actor. There is so much financial insecurity, and every day you're like, what job? How am I going to survive? How am I going to make money? And it just honestly, it feels really close to what it feels like to walk through the world as an actor and an artist in 2024. So honestly, coupled with what Carson gave me, circumstances of the script, and just how I try to survive in New York City, that's kind of how I put Rafaela together.
Yeah. And how did either of you have all these paintings to look at? What did those paintings inform you in any way, or reveal anything in particular that you really latched onto about your characters?
Sexiness. Tomorrow, I mean, when you look at her work, I think someone says, like, it looks like a man drew these. They're so powerful and strong and sexy and overwhelming, and they take up so much space. And I think I latched onto that. Rafaela takes up space as much as possible, every room she walks into. And the pieces, they're just so strong and they're so present that it kind of, you have no choice but to expand. And that's, I think, how I move on stage.
Interesting.
I think the way that her paintings are, they capture so many things. They capture hot, cold. They capture light, dark. They capture hard and soft. And when you see them in person, which you're about to, it's like breathtaking because they are so smooth and sleek, but cold yet warm. The hard, the soft, they're just stunning.
Mm. We should say Amber is recording from Sotheby's as we speak. She's about to go see the exhibit that you haven't had a chance to see it yet. This is your first time.
We saw some of it. So we did our cast reveal event here. And so there were a couple of the on the wall that I got to see, but this is going to be my first time in the exhibit. I'm really excited.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. It feels like to me that in part because Limpika has been around for as long as it has, that there's been sort of this community of people, of like fans and supporters around it. Like the room, at least the night I saw the show, felt really, really warm and really excited about it in a way that isn't always the case for a new show that not everybody knows, right? Am I right about that? Do you feel a community rallying around the show in your experience?
I mean, yeah. I mean, number one, they're rallying around Eden Espinosa. I mean, a goddess has returned to Broadway 20 years later. That's the hottest ticket right now. I think they're also excited by new musical theater. Mm-hmm. They're excited by something that it has been churning, and you've been hearing little bits and pieces, but has finally made its way back to New York. I think people are excited by that. I think people have heard of Matt Gould and have been waiting for his music. If you've been anywhere near 48th Street, you know who Rachel Chavkin is, and you want to see what she's cooking up. I think there's so many different elements about this show that people have just been waiting for. And I think you feel that in the theater every night. I think that's what is, I think it's a good mix of all of those things. And it's lovely to be in a room that, you know, people are very excited. You know, most of them don't know what's about to happen. They don't really know anything about Limpika, but they were interested enough to buy a ticket and show up. And that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the queer representation is really touching people and making them feel seen and represented. And I know it's something that Amber and I hold in high regard, and with it's an honor and a privilege to bring this type of representation to the community, the theater community and the queer community. So, you know, we get notes every day, like, this show is my safe space. Like, thank you for the messages and thank you for what you're doing. And I just think the complexities of our show and the complexities of these characters are at the heart of it all human, and people are hungry for that. They're hungry for that representation, for that connection, to see, you know, themselves in these characters in any way, shape, or form as a gift.
Yeah.
And not to mention something we don't often mention, you have a show led by two women of color, which is you're not seeing. So I the number of little Black girls who are bawling at the stage door that say, you know, thank you for, some girls said to me last night, like, I feel like I have a future in musical theater because of this. Like, girls whose voices are large or different or do something that people don't know what to do with. And now they're like, oh crap, I can do that show. I can be like them. I think it's really touching a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Amber, you mentioned that this is Eden's first time back on Broadway in a little while. She's been off doing a lot of other things, making her own music and performing all around the world, etc. Eden, what's it like? Are you enjoying being back? Does it, has the community changed? Has the experience changed much since you've been here?
Oh, yes. I might as well have been in like a hyperbolic chamber for 50 years. It feels like a completely different game. You know, it is. It's just like, this is a thing now. Like, this is, you know, when I first came onto the scene in this community, like, chat rooms were brand new. YouTube was brand new, you know? So 20 years later, an opening is very different. It's very, very, very different, but, it just feels, it feels good. It just feels, I feel the love of the community for the show and for me. And it is, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, but, I couldn't have asked for a better vehicle to come back with. I've been very choosy with things that I've done in New York because I want to be a part of new groundbreaking things, art that makes people think and feel. And so I'm grateful. These are the moments that you feel like, oh, 9 years of my life. Okay, great. Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. Some things are worth it.
This we're recording this episode not too long after your show opened, and it's actually going to come out the morning that the Tony nominations are announced. What is your, how do you all feel about all of that and everything that comes with it?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Tony Awards.
Who is Tony? Tony the Tiger?
What? They're great.
Great. It's not a space we can occupy. I'll speak for myself. That's not a space I can occupy. Yeah. I get up every morning and I have a job. And I'm excited to go and do it. And if someone decides to put me on a list, great for them. If not, great for them. Yeah, I can't. That wouldn't be a healthy space to occupy, honestly. I'm just excited every night when Cody gives that curtain speech and I know for the next 2 hours and 40 minutes I get to do the thing that I love in a space that was curated by people that I love. You know, I get to stare into Eden's eyes every night. That's honestly what I'm thinking about.
You know, listen, if I were to say that it's something that I haven't wished for or wanted in my career, I would be lying. Of course, it's a goal and an honor and an accolade that in this community, you can't help but like want or wish for or hope to achieve. It's one of those things over the years you hear it's everything and it's nothing all at the same time. Like, if we were to be recognized, what an honor. Also not, it's also at this time, oddly enough, in my life at 46 years old is when I don't actually need it anymore. So again, if it were to happen, it would be an honor, but I'm, you know, I know that it's not a, again, it's everything and it's nothing. It's not indicative of the work that I'm doing up there. Because I know what I'm doing up there. I know what that woman is doing up there, and no one else in this town is doing what she's doing. So Ditto. If they didn't nominate her, they would be idiots.
Ditto.
But that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think there's a pride that we both have. I think we're both very proud of the work that we're doing. And honestly, nothing can take away from that. Like, I don't require the outer validation. I just, what makes me excited is I know how hard I've worked. I know how challenging this has been. I know what 6 years of hard work and dedication feels like in your body. I know I'm still going to my voice teacher working on songs that I'm singing every night because I still haven't cracked them. Like, it's a lot of hard work, and I'm just really proud. And I think that's what brings me the most joy.
Yeah. What for each of you is your favorite moment to do every night in the show? Oh.
Okay, well, my favorite moments are as old Tamara. Beginning and end of the show are my favorites. But beyond that...
Wait, why? Can you say it? Can you explain why?
I just could live forever in that that version of that character. I could live forever in that. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah, unapologetic. And but I love doing women... with Amber. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like the one number where we're there, we're not completely the focals, but we just get to enjoy this freaking hot ensemble working their butts off, like doing this super sexy, fun number led by Natalie Joy Johnson. That's one of my favorite moments of the show.
Yeah. What about for you, Amber?
I often say it's singing What She Sees with Andrew because I just get to sing and walk. I'm not climbing onto a car or off a piano. I'm not climbing out of a bed. I'm not changing clothes. I just actually get to sing a song. And there's a ease. There's a rest in my spirit. But also just because...
Even more so than laying in the bed?
Laying in the bed is stressful to me. I'm always nervous that either I'm so exhausted I might fall asleep. But also, like what most people don't know is Eden probably doesn't even know this. I'm sending her so much good vibes. Like, they're nice when I'm literally like praying for Eden because I know how tired she is. I know we all have an eighth of a teaspoon of energy left and we're only at the end of act one. So a lot of times, even though it looks like I'm sleeping, I'm going, you got it, you good, fuck him up, Eden, go, yes. I'm like breathing with Eden, it's nuts. So that I'm not resting in that bed. I'm in full prayer warrior mode. I'm like, go girl.
Yes. Oh my god, I love you.
Well, I think you've both given listeners new ways to enjoy some of the moments that they will be seeing on stage in Pika. So thank you both. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
That was Eden Espinosa and Amber Amon, now starring on Broadway in the new musical Lempicka. If you enjoyed this conversation here on Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really does help. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes and subscribe at all the places you get your pods, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, a great place to find more theater for your ears. Until next episode, find me on Instagram and Twitter at Gordon B. Cox. You can also check out my newsletter about international theater. It's called Jayqueez. And it's at gordoncox.substack.com. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.